Please open your Bibles to the Proverbs chapter 1. Again, we're trying to be conscious of the time when we gather after having a nice full meal and all the blood that normally should be in our brains is in our stomachs and intestines working overtime. So I'm conscious of that, and so we try to direct it a little bit more precisely. Looking at the Proverbs, and so I'm glad to see John Sheehy arrive, because I see Philip and Johnny here, and I was wondering if I'm going to see in John, and John, you have a friend with you. I'm glad you brought your friend. Hi, friend, and what is it?
Josh.
Hi, Josh. Glad you're here with us, because we're going through the Proverbs, and we're wanting to address ourselves to people like Zach. Zach Plon is here too. So that's really wonderful to see some of the young people come in. And it's good to see the old people here. Because old people, if the young people aren't here, maybe you can think of these things and help them. And some of you will have your own little people some time to instruct and nurture. And so we want to, I hope this will be helpful along those ends. But since I have John and Josh and Zach and, Paul and Ryan, I'll bring you guys in, and Christy over here, and Laura we'll bring in, and we'll remember the older younger ones and consider the Word of God. I want us to look at Proverbs 8 through 19. Let's pray before we look very simply at those words. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you do not leave us to ourselves to live our lives, but your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it guides us in the way that leads to life. Father, we thank you for this just down-to-earth, so practical and plain wisdom that you have been pleased to give to us. Father, may we all profit from it. May we think on it, and will you make us a wise people? And I pray especially for the young people of our congregation, that they would be wise, very wise, that they would live well in your sight. Father, I pray that you'll help me to make it plain and clear, and that it would be received as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So young people, I have a question for you. Zachary, I hope you're feeling better after your soccer match, which he won, but Philip, we are grateful. Yes, grateful that you're able to have a special responsibility in your class as president. And so, what I want you to know, Bill, you've got a good responsibility. You've done well, Zach, 4-2 yesterday in a soccer game. Johnny, we had a great time together. So, what we want to remember is I want you to be wise, and God wants you to be wise. And we want our children and young people to be wise. And so the question is this: who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to, and who should you avoid like the plague? Who should you listen to, and who should you avoid like the plague? It's very simple tonight. In fact, I was telling Devin that if I speak to the children, the parents will understand, I think. So if I really get down, in fact, you might appreciate a simple sermon. So I'm going to do that. We're considering the Proverbs. We're looking at just collected wisdom, the inspired wisdom of God. And it doesn't go wrong. The wisdom of man will go wrong. It will be an error, but not the wisdom of God, not what he says in his word. And so we're going to come and look at it. We know there's a model for us at the very beginning of this book that we considered, and it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That if you don't start with God, you don't start fearing him and thinking rightly about God, if you don't think about him as your maker and the one whom you have to live your life, then you're really not going to be wise at all unless you're really thinking about him. And notice, as right after he says that in verse 7, just gives that motto, we are to be marked. Wise children are God-fearing children. The very first thing that he says is, oh, can you believe it, young people? Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Everything everybody always tells you, including mom and dad, listen to me. Listen to your mom and dad. And that's the first thing. That's the appeal. That's the very first part that comes out here. I want to make this very simple and plain. And the very first thing is this little appeal that we have in verses 8 and 9. It's the appeal is to listen to dad and mom. Listen to dad and mom. If you listen to dad and mom, you will be wise. You will be wise. Zach, if you say, no, you're not wise. If you listen to them, you're wise. Joseph. Joseph, he can barely respond to what I'm doing. Okay. Little Joseph Woods, he's just nodding his head, just keeping it up. Okay. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Notice, connected to the fear of God is listening to your parents' instruction. It's the very first thing that follows after that. That is what the fear of the Lord expects. It expects that you will pay attention to them and obey them. And it's basically saying this, pay attention. Listen. Have you ever heard your mom and dad say that to you? Johnny, have they ever said that to you, pay attention? John, has your father ever said, listen to me? And your mama? Yeah. Laura? Michael? Has your dad ever said, pay attention? Has your mom ever said, listen? I mean, parents are always saying that, aren't they? It seems like that's always what they're saying. And the interesting thing is, in the Proverbs, that's what they're always saying. It's always, look, it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. But if I go to chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. If I go to chapter 3 and verse 21, my son, do not let them depart from your sight. Chapter 4, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention, listen, that you may gain understanding. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Chapter 5, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. Chapter 6, my son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Listen, listen, listen. Do you know why parents are always repeating themselves? Did you ever figure out why? It's because kids, this is really what the Proverbs says, don't be a bonehead. Don't be so hard-headed that you don't listen to mom and dad. The reason mom and dad, don't get discouraged. Don't give up repeating, listen to me. Okay, listen, you've got to listen. That's what it really has to happen in your life. If you're going to be wise, you will listen to them. And that's really the way it really begins. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forget your mother's teaching. And notice, just as parents have a responsibility to instruct you and to teach you, so you have a responsibility to listen to them as they teach you and discipline you and correct you and seek to guide you. God has given them the responsibility, so you have a responsibility to listen to them and heed them. And will you notice, in fact, do you remember in the New Testament what the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6? It's that one that your parents always are maybe saying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's your parents' favorite verse. My daughter Kelsey, my second daughter, her favorite verse in the Bible is, husbands, love your wives. She's always asking me to preach that text. And I know parents would always like this text. Children, obey your parents. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do. But will you notice, and I want you to notice this too, if you're going to be wise, smart children, as far as God is concerned, it says, listen to your father and who else? Mother. Mother is to have as much of your respect. Mother is to have as much of your attention. Mother is to have as much of your obedience as the father. So whether they wear a shirt or a skirt, pants or whatever, okay, you are to listen to them. Okay? You're not to say, well, you know what? Dad, you know, he's got a deeper voice. He's got a stronger hand. He's a little stronger as well and everything else. But mom, you know, she's kind of a pushover. No, you don't play with moms. If you're going to be wise, you're going to listen to mom as much as you listen to dad. Caleb, are you going to do that? Okay, that's what it says. Listen. Luke, just don't look at him and smile. You got to do that too, right? Okay. You want to listen to them. You want to listen to, just as much as you listen to dad, make sure you listen to mom. That's God-fearing. That's wise. That's how you're smart. That's the way you're supposed to be. Okay. And they are the ones whom God has given to instruct you. And notice it's really interesting. It says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. You know what the word there is? I mean, it may not be interesting to you. It's interesting to somebody who studies the Bible. It's the word Torah. Listen to your mother's law, is what it is. Mom sometimes lays down the law. You better listen to the law of mom. You better respond to the discipline and the instruction of dad. That's if you're going to be wise. Listen, say, that's law. If you saw a policeman, if you saw Teddy Simon standing here and basically saying, this is law, you'd listen to Teddy. But mom? Nah. Things from mom just gives opinions. Mom just gives ideas. Mom gives law. Mom gives Torah, and you better listen to the Torah of the house. That's wisdom. You understand. What you understand is mom is giving law, and dad is giving instruction for life. And no, notice, not only that, you say, oftentimes we don't think of it really highly, but look what the scripture says. There's benefit and blessing. Verse 9. These things, mom and dad's teaching and instruction, their law, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Not a pain in the neck. Ornaments around your neck. And you're kind of saying, wait a second, that doesn't sound very attractive to me. I mean, who wants a cluster of leaves all tied around my head? And who wants some big medallion some guy going through midlife crisis wears, you know? He says, there's nothing, that doesn't really appeal to me very much. You know, it's kind of hard for you to kind of get used to that kind of thing, right? Well, maybe I can update the picture a little bit. And this is the harder part because, you know, the young kids listening to that, that would have been something. But to you guys, that's what I think it is. Yeah, it's like that stuff. Well, no. Maybe it's like this. And this may be a little bit harder because some of you haven't quite got there yet. But have you ever seen pictures of people graduating? And you kind of see them just kind of walking across the stage. You know, and what do they have on their heads? Funny little cardboard square hats, right? Yeah, but that's a sign of honor, isn't it? They've gone through the course. It's a sign that they've of respect and honor, and they've got that tassel that's kind of turned, and they're wearing the graduation robe. And then some of those people, some of them will maybe even wear some little I don't even know what you call them, scarves that have different colors. And if your scarf is one color, then that's really honorable. And if it's a purple color, that's really honorable. And sometimes you just kind of look for the people that have all those wonderful scarves. Whoa, that person is honored. That person's favored. Or maybe you can think of it like this. Maybe you say, well, graduation never appealed to me. So maybe sports appeals to you. Maybe the idea of athletes appeals to you. And maybe this appeals to you, you know. Maybe thinking of the Olympics and thinking of that little platform, and there's two there, but there's one person that just stands right in the middle of that platform. And they don't put a big old, leaves on top of his head. What do they put around his neck? What ornament do they put there? They put a medal. A medal is around their neck. And it's a sign of honor. And it's an adornment. Now, have you ever thought that your parents' teaching and instruction is like that? I have never thought it that way. I have always thought that, you know, my parents basically, when they talk to me, are trying to mess with my mind and mess me up. You know what they're really doing? You know what their instruction is doing? It's beautifying you. It's making you a person of honor. It's setting something upon your head like a crown. It's showing that you're favored, and it's seeking to adorn your life, that it would be a glorious life. They're seeking to dress you up with honor and favor. And so don't look at it as something bad. It is really something that is really glorious. One of the other versions says something like this. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and clothe you with honor. Your parents, when they give you instruction and teaching, are giving you something way better than you can ever get at the mall. LA Gear, whatever it may be. Gap. No, this is the best. This is the best dress, is the instruction and teaching that your parents give to you. Listen! Pay attention! And it will crown you. In fact, that's what we're told in the New Testament. Honor your father and mother, so why? That you may live long. There's benefit to this. Listen to mom and dad. It's better than a gold medal to listen to your mom and dad when they give you that instruction. Maybe I can encourage you this way. There was someone else. There was another one who listened to his mom and dad and obeyed them, who lived the most favored and beautiful life that ever was lived. Do you remember who that is? Again, the safe answer in church is always Jesus, isn't it? He lived the most beautiful and favored life that a person could live. What was he marked by? We're told in Luke 2, verse 51, that he continued in subjection. That meant he obeyed his mother and father. Who did he obey? He obeyed Mary and Joseph, the very God of heaven and earth. The perfect man obeyed Mary and Joseph. Were Mary and Joseph perfect parents? Johnny, do you think they were? Yeah, that's right. They weren't perfect parents. Did Mary and Joseph foul up as parents? I am sure they did, but Jesus never fouled up. But what it says about him is this. He was in subjection to them. In fact, listen to what it says right after that. It says, he continued in subjection to his parents. And then the scripture says this, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. He submitted to his parents, and immediately the inspired scripture says he grew in wisdom and favor. He's the pattern. Christ is the pattern. Okay. Well, the Woods children are leaving. What's going on, Jason? Is it? Okay, sorry. All right. Let's go to the next. Okay, who are you to listen to? See, this is very simple. You guys can all remember my outline. Remember mom and dad. Why? Because it'll be a crown on your head, and it'll be just a glorious medal on your chest. It's intended to bless you and make you beautiful and honor a beautiful life. But now, let's go to the next lesson. It's a very simple one. This is called an admonition. Warning, 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 map, 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 map. You can appreciate that kind of stuff, can't you? Big blinking lights now, come on. You know, these are the beautiful lights of the mom and dad. Now, map, 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 map. Okay, here it is. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. That's the main counsel right there. Nub and tag it. Put it there in your little bean and keep it there. If sinners entice you, don't consent. Don't be persuaded. Turn your back on them. You know, this is, you look at this, what it says. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we will all have one purse. That's gang recruitment language. That's, gangs have always been popular. This is basically, come on, you want wealth, you want power, you want companionship, come on, get along with the gang. Because this is really what's taking place. But really it just says, don't, if they seek to entice you, do not consent. Let me tell you something very simple right now. Sinners will seek to entice you. Sinners will seek. It says if here, but no, sinners will seek to entice you. In fact, we could say better, when sinners entice you. Because you're going to be enticed. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be, somebody's going to try to lure you, seduce you, and lead you astray. In fact, that's the word entice. Have you ever been enticed? Sometimes you try to entice maybe your brother or your sister. Maybe like Tom Sawyer enticed his friend to paint, whitewash the fence, you know? You know, and all those kind of tricking, kind of bringing you in, kind of doing it in a sneaky way. They're going to try to lure you in. See, sinners will never teach you anything. They will always try to tempt you. They will never make any demands on you to do what is right in God's sight. They will always appeal to your desires to do wrong. They will do that. And it says you've got a plan for it. You better prepare for it because sinners will seek to entice you. You know, it's easy to recognize mom and dad, isn't it? I said, who are you to listen to? Listen to mom and dad. And if you don't know, maybe there's a picture on the wall someplace so you know who mom and dad is. Maybe a brother or sister can remind you who mom and dad is so you know exactly who it is you're to listen to. But what about these sinners? Do they come along down the road with a sign that says, sinner, and it's just blinking? Do they come with horns and a tail and a fork? You know, do they come with the music, you know, foreboding bass, low notes? It doesn't come that way, does it? No, they come in a clear day. They come kind of with shirt and ties or just the kind of clothes you wear. They just, you know, you say, wouldn't it be nice if it was like in Pilgrim's Progress when it was, oh, there's Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Oh, there's Mr. Pliable. There's Mr. Love of the World. There's Mr. Love of Money. Oh, why can't they have names like that? You know, why can't they have names like Mr. Seducer? Mr. Trouble's coming your way. Oh, Miss Up to No Good. They don't have those names. How do I recognize them? I mean, that's pretty tough. I can recognize Mom and Dad. That's very helpful. See how God does that? The people you need to listen to, you can recognize. Okay, but these other ones are a little bit more subtle, a little bit more difficult, aren't they? And this is a difficult one. Well, look, the only way we can kind of recognize them is the way they seek to trick us and bait us here. Look at this. This sounds awful, doesn't it? Now let me just say something. Just say something to you, first of all, about this. And I think this is probably. I think it's safe. It's not said here, but I think it's pretty safe. Invariably, that means almost every single time a sinner will contradict the teaching and instruction of your parents. They will seek to get you to do something contrary to what you've been instructed and taught by those whom God has given to you. Now, it doesn't say that right off the bat here, but all of this is implied there. It's all contrary to what you've been taught, the good things that you've been taught. So then maybe that's the first thing. Mom and Dad didn't say that. That might be a very good clue that you've got sinner, 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 sinner. Okay? You may not recognize them, but the minute you get that coming into your ear, let that be a warning. But notice, I just want to show you how they're going to bait you and how they're going to trick you. They offer companionship. I'll be your friend. Nobody else will be your friend. I'll be your friend. Sometimes doing right in God's sight will leave you fairly lonely. And you may be the only person. And so it's kind of nice when somebody comes along and says, I'll be your friend. Or they say, come on, why don't you be our friend? Come with us. That's what they say. Notice verse 11. Come with us. They offer this companionship. Throw in your lot with us. Verse 14. Come on. We got something going on here. It's kind of like, look, there's a lot of us doing it. This kind of this peer pressure. Come on. Join up with us. But it's a false friendship. Here you see it's a friendship in crime. Be our accomplice, really, is what they're asking. And here's another reality, young people. Here's another reality. There are things, there are sins that you will do with others that you would never think of doing by yourself. There is an awful tendency of sin when it gets people together where you would not do a certain sin by yourself. With the company of others, you will be emboldened to sin. You've got to watch out for people who want to kind of get together to do something that you know is wrong. It's awful. There's a strength, you see, when sinners get together. And there's a strength that even pulls out of us that sin which we maybe would not want to do that we would do. And it's been proved out in so many times. Notice what else they'll do. Notice what else. They offer companionship and then they offer a little bit of secrecy. If they do things that are secret, if they say, let's do things not in the open, come on, notice what they say. Let's lie in wait for blood. Let's kind of sneak around. Let's ambush the innocent without a cause. Now, I'm going to get to the very graphic language here in just a second, but notice it's the secret things. If these people who are trying to get your ear and trying to get your consent are asking you to do things that you would never do publicly or never speak of to your mom and dad, then you better, as it says, do not give them consent. Nothing secret. Nothing hidden. Sin likes to hide. Sinners love to do things in the dark. They're like cockroaches and black widows that I am absolutely afraid of. Notice what else. Notice what else. It's kind of as you read it. Let's lie and wait for blood. Let's ambush the innocent without cause. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Even whole as those who go down to the pit. The language is this. It's almost like they make a sport of it. It sounds fun. It sounds easy. There's a certain sense of spin on it. They make bad things sound good. Watch out for that. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 10:23, doing wickedness is like a sport. Zachary, You're a good goalie in soccer, but don't be a good sinner. There's no such thing as a good sinner. Don't join with anybody. Don't make a sport of doing bad. That's what the wicked do. They like that. And this is what they do. They kind of join in with us. They intend to harm the harmless without cause. And they promise, look, they promise success. They promise easy pickings. We shall find all kinds of wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We're going to have one purse. They appeal to what? Greed. They appeal to your desire. They appeal to those things that they ought not to appeal to. Wrong motives. Let's harm somebody because it's going to help you. You see the idea? You know, if you looked at this whole little section here in verses 11 through 14, in Park County, Wyoming, we would be filing charges for these people. It'd be called conspiracy to commit robbery and murder. And they would go to the big house for a long, long time. That's what's happening here. This is conspiracy for crime. You say, are you kidding? Would I be taken in by this? If somebody said to you, John, let's go murder somebody, what would you do? Would you fly? Would you flee? Of course you would. There's not a single person who heard all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to get taken by this. You think I don't have any brains, but this is not the way they come. This is not the way they come. This is really, in a certain sense, as Bridges says in his commentary on Proverbs, all that the writer has done is just taken the cover off of it. It's taken the varnish away so you can see really what's going on. They don't come that blatantly. They come subtly like the devil. It just kind of gets worked in. That's eventually where it's all going. But they don't present it that way. It is, as I said again, it's appeal to companionship. It's appeal to wrong desires. It's methods of secrecy and the promise of easy success, sport of evil. Those are the things that you've got to watch out for. This is in its old blatant and ugly form. Maybe you can prepare yourself with some good questions. And I just propose some. Maybe your mom and dads can propose others, and maybe some of you saints can propose other questions. But you maybe just say, okay, what are they asking me to do? Is it good or is it bad? Is it something that mom and dad would approve of, or is it not? And if you have questions about it, take it to mom and dad. Is this a secret thing, or is this kind of an open thing? Is this something that is going to do somebody harm, or is it going to do somebody good? Is this something that's going to benefit somebody else and please God? Or is it something that's just simply appealing to my own motive of self-interest? What's going on here? What's happening here? And what kind of fun is it? Is it fun at somebody else's expense? Then I don't want a part of it. He said, listen to your mom and dad, because that's just like just adorning you and making you beautiful, dressing you in honor and favor. But notice what he says here. Don't listen to them. If sinners entice you, do not consent. And he says it again in verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. Don't go with them for a minute. Don't put a little tiny piggy in their path. For one moment, don't walk with them. And he tells you why. Look at this. I mean, you're responsible, kids. You're responsible. You can't say the devil made me do it. You can't say, well, I was just angry at mom and dad. We're responsible. It rests with us. It rests with children. It says, don't consent. It's on you. He says, and he gives the reasons. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. It's a fast path to trouble. It will lead to trouble very fast. Before you realize it, you will be doing sins you never thought you would ever do. One sin prepares the way for another sin. One sin pleads for another sin. One sin leads to another sin. You think of David and you think of the awful pattern of his life. But sin leads to sin. Don't get into that path. Don't even step into it, because it's just a slippery, fast downward path. They run to it. Notice this, it's a path of self-deception too. Look, verse 17, it's useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird. Now this is a hard picture here. The picture is sometimes just the idea of, there's the little birdie just sitting in the tree, and he's watching the guy set the trap. Maybe I can do it this way. It's the mouse. It's the mouse in the garage, and you're setting the trap, and you're putting the cheese, and the mouse is just kind of sitting here just watching what you're doing. You're going to set that trap. Now, if I take that cheese, that's going to come on top of my body. Kind of. Sometimes people look at it that way, but it's kind of a difficult picture here. The picture may be just simply this. It's just simply the idea that you've got the net laid out, and you're putting the bird seed on top of it. You know, birds don't have much brains. The bird isn't going to think, if I take that, that thing's going to catch me. No, the problem is, then that's the picture. Birds don't think. Birds don't think of the consequences. Birds don't think that if they take the bait, they're going to get in trouble. And that's really the problem. They never think of the consequences. You're not thinking of the consequences. You're just not thinking. And that's really what he says. Don't be bird-brained about this. And then notice what else? It's a path of self-destruction. It says, they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. Now look, kids, look what they said in verse 11, what the sinners offered to them. Let's lie in wait for blood. Let's ambush without cause. But notice verse 18. They lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. They take their own lives. They destroy themselves. They think whatever they plan against somebody else simply is going to happen to you. It's just coming back on your own head. Be wise. You don't get by with it. In fact, what you're planning comes back on you. There's no honor, there's no beauty in this path. It just simply leads to destruction. One old writer I was reading about just said it like this. Wickedness is a cheater. Wickedness is a cheater. It promises a lot, but it never delivers. It says, and he used a picture, it says it holds a dark lantern in one hand. Oh, it appears to offer light, but it's a dark lantern. And it says, as you're looking at the lantern, it says with the other hand, it takes its pistol and it fires it into your heart. Ah, here is the way to go. Look at that dark light which the sinners are offering. Not the bright, God-appointed light of your parents. I'm going to follow the dark light of the lantern. And while you're looking at the light and just following the light down the path, the very hand that holds the light, the hand of wickedness, has the gun to just shoot you right in your heart and takes your life. It's an awful picture. But that's what it is. That's what it is. That's why he says, listen to me. He who walks with the wise, Proverbs says, will be wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. Don't hang out with fools. Don't listen to sinners. Don't yield to them. Don't be persuaded by them for one moment. Do not be deceived, Paul says. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be taken in. As Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, and love with those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't hang out with them. Do not get in the path with them. Flee from them and pursue the righteous things with the people of God. Be encouraged that way. How blessed is the man, how blessed is the boy and girl who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord and even the counsel and wisdom of his parents. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give good ears and good hearts to the young people here, that they would not despise, nor neglect, nor reject, nor forsake the teaching of their parents. And that, Lord God, that they would be willing to receive it as much as they would be willing to receive a medal from the Olympic Committee, or a great honor from a university. Father, I pray that you would help them to see that what their parents would seek to instruct them and counsel them concerning the ways of God is for their own good and beauty of life. And help them, Father, help them be prepared in some measure, even from this little message today, to be able to resist the enticements and the seductions of sinners.